I've got 6 o'clock here on Thursday, September 10th, and I'd like to call our Administrative Control Board meeting to order. Do we have any guests, any public input tonight?
Doesn't sound like it, not at this time, Mike.
Okay, how about item 2, executive session? Do we have anything there?
We do not have an executive session tonight.
Okay. Item 3, consent agenda. I had a chance to look the packet over in the minutes. I didn't have any comments there. I guess we can just go around the horn. Karen, did you have any comments on the consent agenda?
On the check, the $13,000 payment to SB Weird for the monitoring the Silver Creek.
Yeah, Karen, that's we participate in paying for a stream gauge on Silver Creek to monitor stream levels. It's something the district's done for a long, long time, well before I've been a part of the staff here. And the reason is it supports water right calculations and also essentially just surface water flows in the area.
Is that an annual amount, Scott?
It is, Mike.
And it's shared between us. Who else participates in that, Scott?
The sewer district.
Park City?
I'm not sure, Lisa. I'd have to dig into those details. Okay. Certainly us in the sewer district.
I didn't see that in the check register. Which page is it on?
It's on page 6. Can I also ask another question?
Sure.
Sure. I saw that we had a drug screen. Was there an accident? Because I also saw a couple car repairs.
Let's see. This was August. So those were our randoms. We do random screen. More likely. We have not had an accident. Correct me if I'm wrong, Steve.
We had the incident with the Toyota Tundra where it was backing up and jackknifed in, and I think the checks traded hands during August, possibly.
But it's likely that the most recent drug
screens. We paid Service King to do the work less, and so we were just out there $500 deductible.
Yeah. So it was either a random or it was one of the, we have them tested also as well when they are in an accident.
Right, right. I just wanted to make sure there hadn't been an incident.
No, nothing significant or where anyone was hurt.
Okay, good. That's it for me.
Okay. Bob.
Do you have
any comments?
Nope. I'm good.
How about Ian? Okay, we're not hearing anything there, Ian.
Ian?
So you disappeared.
Hey, Ian, you with us? I can see you. Your camera's moving. It doesn't sound like Ian's got audio. Ian, if your audio continues to give you problems, you may want to just dial in. The number is right here. I'm sharing my screen right now. You can see it on my screen on the agenda. Mike, do you want to keep moving while Ian's getting sorted out?
Yeah, I guess then the last was Tim. How did the consent agenda look to you, sir?
I didn't have any. I just was questioning the Toyota. I think I got the answer on that. It's nice to see that we're still paying for hay loss. I understand what that's about.
We are still paying for hay loss, Tim. It was a... hay's running a little more expensive this year as well.
It looks like, I'm sure it was hay and not something else.
The district did, along those lines, we did request backup information on that, and everything's checking out in accordance with the agreements that were made, so.
All right, well, I have no other questions.
That was a pretty exciting page six. Lots of, almost 100,000 in power too. Okay, I didn't see any purchase orders.
No purchase orders tonight?
No purchase orders.
So, Ian, how's it going on your end?
Give me a second. He's in the waiting room. I don't know why I didn't see that, but he's coming in right now. Just give him a second. He's showing back up on my screen. You there, Ian?
Do I have audio now?
Yeah, there you go.
All right. I don't know what was going on there. That was weird.
Any feedback on the consent agenda, Ian?
Yeah, I was going to say, I just had a couple of questions on the check register. Robert Sitaway, the hay loss for 2020, $5,720. Is that a reimbursement to someone that's been impacted by our operations, or...?
It is. That's an annual payment that we make, Ian, that's related to an impact down at the Lost Canyon pump station. We impacted a neighboring resident's property when the original Lost Canyon line was placed. So we make an annual payment for hay loss, and it's based on the cost of hay and the crop loss that he sustains each year.
And that's in perpetuity?
It is.
Okay. And then, did we get a new Highlander?
We did. We bought a Toyota Highlander hybrid for the office. That was a planned expense.
Cool. And then, I noticed on the Nickerson Old Ranch Road effort, we divided it between community water and the rest of Mountain Regional. What was the basis for the percentage between the two?
It was more the components that were purchased. So we replaced one of Mountain Regional's existing pumps that had all of the other fittings and valves already, installed. So it was just the pump that we were purchasing. On the community water portion, it was not only the pump, but the discharge header and some of the other fittings and valves.
Okay, cool. That was it for me. Thank you.
Okay, well, if there are no other questions on the consent agenda, I think we're ready for a motion to approve.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, so that's Bob and Ian. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Okay, I think that was unanimous. Item four, financials. Lisa Hoffman and Steve Anderson.
So in preparation for our larger budget meeting in October, we'd like to go over the revenue assumptions we're going to be using or are using right now to build the revenue side of that budget. We continue to use the Zions model we built with them back in 2018. We updated obviously with each new year's results and review all the assumptions, make sure they're still appropriate. We're going to continue with our residential growth and usage assumptions growing at 2%. Our usage is based on the 17, 18, 19 and a projected 2020. So basically we already have results through July in there. We'll add August and that continues just to refine 2020 each month. Normal customer growth is at that 2%, so that'd be about 82 new residential. And then this originally had 30 customers in Silver Creek. We'll talk about that a little bit more below. So that would give us 112 new customers. That's not quite as It's a little lower than our four-year average, but seems like the right thing to do at this point. So about Silver Creek, down a little bit, for the model for 2020, we projected 20 units coming on and connecting the water. So far this year, we have 21 units that have actually connected the water system. The usage isn't very high because most of these units aren't occupied yet, but they are connected. The original plan was to maybe project 30 units for 2021, but as staff, as we discussed that more today, we're going to take another look at that number. They're building quite quickly, and even if they don't sell, they connect the water, so it switches to the $6,180 a month per base. So we will probably be ticking that number up a little bit and have a little higher revenue than what this is showing. Our commercial growth is slower than our residential growth, usually averages about 1%. So we're going to continue that. We do track the residential customers and the commercial customers separately because they do have different growth patterns. For Park City, as they continue, I'm sorry, is there a question? I don't mean to just keep rushing through. We good? Okay. Park City, they're going to continue to probably take their 2,900 acre feet or close to that. It kind of is more of a, our revenue there is more of a sharing of expenses, and expenses have stayed pretty stable in Lost Canyon. So we'll just remain at the $700,000 revenue projection for next year. Weber Basin, for those of you who, yesterday we did have that work session with the council, went really well. Everything seems to be moving forward. So when we plug in the 595 for the regional supply water, and then for the settlement water, just a 3% increase over what it was last year, we're looking at $1.9 million more or less revenue from the regionalization agreement for next year. This year, it's the $1.67 million. So about $233,000 more next year will be coming from that regionalization. Same volume of water, but with the better price, we'll get about another $233,000. The standby fees, when we first built the model, we kind of projected these would start to slowly decline. What we've discovered is they actually are holding very constant. So basically, every time a customer switches from standby to water, we have a new area plotted and we get more standby customers. So the budget is holding right around the 780 that we projected, and we'll project that again for next year. So that's kind of a nice, that there is enough development still that holds constant. The operating fees, this is like meter connections, some smaller things, they stay pretty close. We just hold those over from year to year. Impact fees, we have hit our budget for 2020 of 500,000. We're actually at about 510,000. Had a big August, kind of surprising to us, but several homes in the colony came in and paid some large impact fees. But given just the unpredictability of next year and economy and things like that, we're going to hold that at 500,000 and then be pleasantly surprised if it's more than that.
Hey, Steve?
Yeah.
It's Mike. What has that been historically?
Historically, it's about the 10-year average is about 750,000. We're dropping off some of the really low years, and we're only have really strong years in the average. So we are budgeting below the 10-year average at this point in time.
Okay, thank you.
You bet. Retail water sales. So when you exclude the regionalization, Park City, and the standby, for 2020, we budgeted $7.66 million. The rate model right now is telling us we should budget about $8.26 million, so almost a $600,000 increase, or a 7.82% increase. That's a pretty big jump for 1 year. So we started to look at that just in context that we seem to be running hot and dry a little more frequently, and with our customer growth. So right now, for the end of this year, we're projecting $8.45 million is where we're going to end up. So if you look at that little graph just below, you'll see kind of what the 2020 budget was, what our 2020 projection, and then our 2021 budget at the moment. So even though the jump is quite high from budget to budget, given the projection for 2020, it doesn't seem quite so extreme, so I think we're comfortable with that. We definitely, since we've built the reserves, we want to budget for retail water sales as aggressively as we can, and then just use reserves as, if we need to. So that was just kind of giving you an idea of how those all are looking to, like they're going to relate at this point in time. So, yeah, the budget process is in good swing right now. We won't need a rate increase for 2021. The model is currently projecting the next time we would need a rate increase would be the beginning of 2023, so 4 years after our last one, and it's projecting it to be somewhere between 2% and 3%. So I think that's good news for our customers and how things are playing out. There was kind of a question, we kind of was talking about this a little bit in our meeting today, so I'll bring that up. Instead of the way we have to meet ratio, even if we did like a 1% increase next year and a 1% increase the year after, we'd still have to do a 2 or 3 in 2023 to have our revenue be enough compared to our debt coverage. So there's no need to give the rate increases, smaller ones, the next 2 years, because that would just probably have us put more cash into reserves, which we really don't need at this point in time. So although at one point in time we kind of talked about doing smaller incremental increases every year, the way the 1.25 ratio plays out with revenue and debt, it makes more sense to do it this way. It's better for our customers. Okay, any questions on kind of those revenue assumptions we plan on using as we continue to build the budget for 2021?
I have one on the regionalization stuff that you showed. That increase, is that solely a component of the base rate, or is that using the assumption that we pass through the rate study rates as well?
It's that we pass through the rate study rate of 5.95. So moving that from $5 to $5.95 basically makes us, you know, a little over $200,000, and then a little bit on the regional supply water.
So a little bit on the base because we're increasing at 3%, and then most of it's coming from the rate study wholesale increase.
Exactly.
All right. Cool. That's it.
And that, I kind of remember that number, that about $200,000 is kind of what we were short.
Yeah.
So, Steve, what does it do to our cash if we use this budget?
You know, our cash will, we're still finalizing the expense side of it. We have to generate that 25% basically above our budget for planning. That's what the 1.25 is. We'd like to budget that so it's at least 1.4. Right now, our ratio is looking to be about 1.56. So it would increase cash, but we are spending quite a bit on some capital projects, especially as we finish this year. So some of those cash balances should be coming down, so it doesn't look like we'll be, you know, have too much cash is our plan. Our plan is to just keep kind of the reserves where they are, spend money as we need, and keep moving forward.
So do we spend the total amount down a little bit, or I guess you're still working that out.
We're still working that out. This year's been a little hard because some of our big projects, like community water, are coming from a different cash supply, whereas probably going forward, more of our projects will come out of our own capital and need to come out of our own capital cash, not out of the community water loan, for example.
Okay, thank you.
And when we present the budget to you in October, we'll have a detailed schedule that shows all of the income, our expenses against that, and then with that remaining cash balance, that generally gets used for capital projects, and we'll have a detailed list of all those capital projects we have planned for 2021.
Okay.
Can I just say that the market, like the real estate market, has been unusually high, and I think maybe we're being a little too conservative, but that's just based on what the market is doing right now.
Karen, we're seeing a lot of homes change hands. I mean, more title transfers than we've ever processed, basically. But do you think that's going to hold for new construction as well and new plot selling?
Yes. What we're seeing is now that there's no house inventory left, that people are buying lots and building. So that's just what I'm seeing in the market.
Yeah, it's definitely something we continue to talk about. You know, last year we really dropped it. If you remember last year, I mean, the last 4 years, I think we've been over $1 million in impact fees, 1.1, 1.2. And we're down to 500,000, just over 500,000 right now. Granted, this was COVID, you know, we did have COVID going on this year. I wouldn't be surprised if it jumps back next year. We also have some larger projects that didn't come in this year. Ascent Hotel is one that's still sitting out there that's, I think, $300,000 or $400,000. That one could hit. Impact fees are just really, I'd say, harder to predict right now. And it's, I think you have more of a benefit of being conservative than over being too aggressive on impact fees. So I wouldn't be surprised if we maybe bump this up a little bit by the time you see it again, once we see what the market continues to do. I know I've been listening to reports lately that it's like the biggest year they've ever had. And, you know, 100 homes are closing a week. It's and there's 100 pending. It's just crazy.
Yeah, it's been an unbelievable market.
Right. And that'll definitely come in, especially in a year, if we're projecting where we need a rate increase. What we predict for the impact fee revenue would probably be even more important that year, because that could help determine how much of a rate increase. So this year, since we're not planning one, we can be a little more conservative there because it doesn't impact our customers. But yeah, I'm with Lisa that we'll watch that and that might tick up a little bit after our conversation tonight. So, all right. Scott, if you wanted to let me share my screen for a second, I could just give some, we didn't have August closed by the time we sent out the packet, but it's closed now. So just real quickly, I could show just a few items.
Yeah, go for it, Steve.
Okay. So hopefully you're all seeing just the basic revenue and expenses so far this year. We are doing quite well. We're about $1,067,000 above budget. That's made up of mainly revenue being about $960,000 higher than planned. Expenses are also about $108,000 lower than budgeted. So we're in a good position for this year. Cash collections stay strong. We're not seeing any real change due to COVID. Customers continue to pay their bills. If we take just a peek at August real quick, you'll see most of the categories we were pretty tight on. The one, residential sales, continues to be where we're outpacing budget as the hot summer, large residential customers continue to use a lot of water. Then just one last screen, kind of put that a little more visually. August is our record August. That's kind of becoming a repetitive pattern for this year. You know, a lot of that has to do with the additional base that we have with community water, but usage is also quite high. So all things look positive for revenue. Expenses are running high in distribution, especially as we have a lot of repairs and just a lot of work to keep this much water running through the system. So any other questions on, I know that's just kind of a real brief look at August, but since you didn't have a chance to review it, I didn't want to try to get into too much detail there. But I'm happy to answer any questions you might have.
maybe just talk really quick, Steve, about our cash collections and how that's looking.
Cash collections at the end of July, we had about $290,000 outstanding, very typical for summer month. It only went up $10,000 by the end of August, so we have about $300,000 outstanding. That is actually very almost lower than last year when there wasn't any COVID. And as a matter of fact, Promontory walked in about $125,000 worth of checks this afternoon. So, we're doing well on that. I was going to break that down on a 30, 60, 90-day basis, but I have to admit I didn't have a chance this afternoon to do that. So, but that's well within an acceptable range from what we've seen historically. I was going to jump to it, but let's see. There's the little graph. If you can everybody see that? Get it a little bigger. So, and that's normally what we see this time of year. And you can see it just barely climbed from July to August. And given we had two huge billing months, that little climb is actually a good indicator. Any other thoughts? Questions?
Thanks a lot, Steve. That sounds great. Mike, anything else, or are we ready to move on?
Steve, that was really well done. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Very succinct. Okay, item 5, Human Resources and Lisa Hoffman. Looks like we have a couple of job descriptions here.
Yeah. Do you want to bring those up, Scott?
Yeah, I sure can.
I think we've talked about this in the past, and I think Scott's talked about this with you. We just needed, with Marty's retirement, we just needed to make some updates to the assistant general manager and the CFO job description. I'd say largely related to the assistant general manager job description. The CFO, we just did a few tweaks. And I'll just kind of jump through the items that are really significantly impacting this rewrite of the assistant general manager position. Really just indicating in the job description that this position is providing assistance to the GM and will perform that role in his absence. This position will now be not only over public service, but also over finance. So that will provide, they'll provide management and leadership functions to both of those departments. We've added a legislative component. So we have someone designated to help monitor what's going on at the state level, the county level, any kind of legislation that we see coming our way that could affect the district. We also added a kind of a communication strategies, which communication has always kind of been handled in public service, but we wanted to detail that out a little bit more and get a little bit more strategic in our planning and how we're reaching out to our customers and how we're communicating with the community. So we've put that in as this position will be the liaison, and also liaison with Summit County Communications Department and other local entities. This position will now also do the HR function. Will also be the manager and kind of overseer of all of our policies and procedures. We have quite a few policies that we update. Usually we go through some kind of rewrite or a change, definitely to personnel pretty frequently, but also our rules and regs, our bylaws, lots of different policies that we would need to keep track of. So this function will, this position will help manage that process. And then we'll also act as the district's grandma officer and help in any grandma coordination efforts with Summit County's legal department. Well, those are kind of the big changes to this job description. We did bump up the pay grade. It was below the CFO's pay grade, so we bumped that up underneath the general manager's pay grade, in between the CFO and our chief technical officer position. We made that change. So those are kind of the big ones there. Are there any questions on the assistant general manager job description changes?
I don't have any questions on the description itself, but I assume this has been reviewed by county and all that good stuff.
Yeah, sorry, I forgot to mention that. We have sent this over to Brian Bellamy, and he did review it and didn't get back to me with any comments. He had a question about the pay grades, but no other comments. The CFO position, really just a few minor things here. Directly putting the supervision of the accountant underneath this position. And then, the billing process. We added the billing process into finance, which we've now completely moved over to the finance department. And then I think we made some updates to just the work environment to more align with what we had, or one way or the other. We made the work environment similar to the assistant general manager position and the CFO position. Before, they were different, but really it was essentially the same. I think that's it. Are there any
questions about the risk management
position?
Is that take a look at the definition of the risk management, and it looks like it's more along the lines of insurance. Is that what the intent was there? It's not the overall operations risk management. It's just more along.
Yes, it would be there, the liaison and the contact with Utah Local Governments Trust, making sure that our policies are in place and kind of being that point of contact is what it was intended to be.
So it's not a broader operations risk manager. It's more along the lines of the financial.
Correct.
Okay. What's the process then to fill these positions?
So, Mike, this falls in line with the district's transition plans that we have upon Marty's retirement that have been communicated to the board. Now that these job descriptions, if the board approves these job descriptions, Brian Bellamy already has, it really paves the way for those promotions to occur, for Lisa Hoffman to move from chief financial officer into the assistant general manager position, and for Steve Anderson to move from the finance manager into the chief financial officer position.
Okay, so will we go through a public advertisement, or do we need to do that?
Nope, not in this case. Promotions can be handled from within if we have qualified people.
Okay. So that fits with Bob's comment or question on with Brian and just the procedure there.
Yep, and Brian is, I've been in contact with Brian with the district's, transition plans. He has seen the org chart that will become effective upon these transitions, and he's supportive.
Well, I think it's very exciting. I'm very happy to see this happening.
Awesome. We are as well.
Yeah.
Scott, is Marty's last day this month?
It is, yeah. So Marty's last day, did we land on October 1st, Lisa?
Yes, it's October 1st.
Okay. So October 1st is Marty's last day. That's something that we definitely wanted to communicate to the board, Marty will be leaving us here in a few weeks.
And we probably can't do a huge potluck, which would be very apropos for her. Are we going to make her a huge scrapbook or something?
Yeah, so we have some plans up our sleeve. Anna, are you going to be doing the minutes? Because I don't want to let the cat out of the bag if Marty's going to listen to the tape. But anyway, we've got some ideas, Ian, that we're trying to be creative, and I'm hopeful that Marty appreciates it.
And we'd be happy to share them with you. I think we're gathering some things, and we'll share them in an email so that you could participate if you'd like.
Perfect. That would be, yeah, I'm very happy to hear this, and yeah, I'd love to participate. I think most of the board would probably, so yeah, thank you.
Okay, great. We'll get that out to you.
Yeah, we really want to recognize everything she's done for the district for so long.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and it's difficult to do, right? Especially under these circumstances, so.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll do, are we ready for a motion to approve these updated job descriptions?
I move to approve the updated job description.
I'll second.
That was Karen and Ian. All those in favor? Aye.
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 Okay, that was unanimous. Item 6, legal. Blaine, do we still have you connected?
We do not have Blaine. So, Chris, would you mind leading us off?
Yeah. So tonight, the only thing that's of notice is this petition for annexation that Scott's bringing up right now. So this is one very small piece that was not included specifically with the annexation of community water. It's a standalone parcel that's kind of pegged in behind the old Snowden or Colby School and the boundary for the Park West Village on the east side of 224. The owner, or I should say the prospective owner, this guy's trying to buy the parcel, wants to annex in. It makes sense. He's actually got water line from us on both sides of his parcel. And so we've started the annexation process, and he realizes that if he purchases it, he's going to have to redo the annexation application itself. But we're looking for board approval for the intent to move forward with the annexation.
It seems pretty straightforward. Are there any questions?
So the current signature on the annexation form, that's the existing owner, but the new owner is going to have to do the whole process again. Is that what you said, Chris?
Well, no, he won't. He just needs to fill out the petition. If you guys, we've talked to Dave and to Blaine, and they're fine with it. If the owner changes, they don't have to go through the whole process again. Because, you know, the map's ready. You guys have, the parcel itself isn't changing. You know, the description isn't changing and so forth. So if the board moves to approve the annexation, we'll get everything ready. As soon as the sale happens and the new owner has title to it, then we will take it to the county and it'll move on from there.
It sounded like it was going to be a single family. It's not a developer. They're not planning to subdivide.
Yeah, it's just over a quarter acre lot or half acre lot. It's a pretty small piece. Yeah.
Okay. That's it for me.
Okay. So are we looking for a motion to approve this for intent or to approve?
So, Mike, I tried to put some motion language for you here in the memo that on the screen I'm sharing here in bold. Basically, what the board does in this case is recommends to the county council that they annex this property into the district.
So moved.
Dragon.
So that was Ian and Bob. All those in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Okay, that was unanimous. Thanks, Chris, for that. That That seems right thing to do. Seems right there. Item 7 tonight is general manager comments from Scott Morrison.
Thanks, Mike. I'll bring a memo up here just for the board's reference if you haven't seen it already. But really, just cutting to the chase here, you know, we have we have worked with all of the stakeholders through this process, you know, from the finalization of the initial draft of the rate study. We met with Summit Water on a couple of occasions, made some adjustments based on their comments that brought the rate down slightly. They did a Summit Water performed a final review that was immediately following our last board meeting, and they didn't have any further questions or concerns or objections with the material in the rate study. We followed that meeting up with a stakeholder meeting that included leadership at Summit Water, Darren Hess from Weber Basin, Chris Robinson from the County Council, Tom Fisher sat in, Mike Kobe from our board, and myself, and our financial advisor, Fred Philpott, presented the findings of the rate study. There were no questions or objections by any of the stakeholders at that time either. Last night, we presented the rate study to the County Council to let them know of you know, the stakeholder involvement and the results of the study, and the County Council did not have any, you know, objections or critical questions of the study, and, you know, they weren't approving, certainly the rates, but, you know, what I wanted from the council was, the support for our board, to be able to adopt, these rates for the next 5 years from 2021 through 2025, in a public hearing at a date that I'd like to talk about tonight. I'd like to nail that down, and we'll hold that outside of a typical board meeting just for efficiency purposes, and if we do have public attendance, it'll be easier to manage. So really, the long story short is I think it's been a good process. I'm glad we did the rate study. I think the stakeholder involvement proved to be an important step, and the council is supportive of adopting these rates. Are there any specific questions about you know, the proceedings last night or any of the meetings that we've had?
I'm surprised they've been cordial. So I think that it was a good strategy for you to get out in front of this.
Thanks, Karen. Yeah, so far so good. The leadership at Summit Water has changed again since we held all of these meetings. I have not heard any, you know, any questions or concerns from their new leadership.
Wait, it changed again after the new folks that came in after Andy?
Yes, that's correct. All of the folks, so Jeremy Sorensen was hired as the general manager following Andy. He was let go, it's been 2 weeks ago, I guess now. Dave Fuller, who was the assistant general manager under Andy and was retained and was assisting Jeremy, bringing him up to speed, he was let go just a couple days prior to Jeremy.
And do you know the new staff?
What I've heard is that Dale, his last name is escaping me at the moment, but a gentleman who worked for Summit Water in the past is in charge.
Okay.
Have we reached out to Dave Fuller to see if he has any plans?
As far as
employment? I thought he was a pretty good hand.
Dave Fuller is a great guy. I have been in contact with Dave Fuller. I have a copy of his resume. I don't think there's an open position for him here at this time, but you know, I told him that I'd keep my ears open for him.
Okay.
What's his background? Engineer?
No, his education background is not in engineering. I think, if I remember right, he has more of a general studies degree and associates. He's been with Summit Water for a number of years now, 10 to 15. So, you know, his background's really, I think, at this point is in, you know, water system operation and management.
And I think he might have had the military experience prior to that.
Yeah, that is correct, Lisa, yeah.
Good. Well, do you have any indication that they were let go based on their communications with you on the wholesale rate?
No, I don't have any indications of that. And I'm merely, you know, just guessing here, but... I believe that Chris Robinson, you know, has been in contact with the board of Summit Water. And I think if there was significant heartburn with respect to our proposed rate increases, that we would have heard that from Chris last night.
Okay, good.
So regarding the date for a public hearing, I provided a couple options in the memo, October 1st and October 8th. I have a conflict October 1st. I'd prefer to avoid that date. If that's the only date that works for the board, I can make it work. So the 8th would be my preference, or we could entertain the following week, which would be the 15th, if we've got... if nobody has any conflicts on the staff or the board.
I wanted to ask about the 15th. Was there a reason that our next board meeting was on the 22nd? Because I know we used to try to avoid UEA weekend, but Park City School District no longer observes 2 days of UEA. They only observe one. So I was wondering if that was the reason we weren't holding a meeting
So the
administrative control board.
Yeah, Ian, typically the October meeting is held at the latter portion of October to it assists with the budget process. I believe it has to do with, Lisa, correct me if I'm wrong, has to do with getting those latest September numbers and really having all the information the district needs to move forward with the budget. So it's typical for it to fall that late. And I misspoke when I said the 16th. October 15th is a Thursday, would be another potential date. The reason that wasn't listed as an initial option is that Friday, I believe, is a day off for UEA weekend, right, Ian, or whatever they're calling it this year.
Yeah, 16th's a day off for Park City Schools. 8th is my preference, so I'll just weigh in.
I'd prefer the 8th.
I'm good on the 8th.
Yeah, the 8th is clear for me.
Yeah, likewise.
Okay. Let's lock it in then on the 8th. Plan on 6 o'clock. More details to follow. The meeting will be held electronically as these are. And Lisa is already working on noticing and getting those notices to Blaine for his approval. You know, we'll plan on that.
Very good.
Next up is just a quick update on the meter replacement conflict that we ran into over the last month or so. First off, I just want to apologize to the board that you needed to step in and get in the middle of that. Every once in a while, we have these situations that kind of spiral out of control a bit. Since the memo sent out from Mike, I did reach out and schedule a call with the customer last week. And really the purpose of the call was to grease the skids or understand that this customer is willing to work with the district if we do allow them to wait till the springtime for their meter replacement. I just wanted to get the head nod from them that, you know, when we get into the spring, you know, they're going to be willing to work with us and allow us to get in there and get this meter replaced. The feedback I got from the customer was that they absolutely intend to do that. They'll have their meter pit located, uncovered, and ready for us to perform this work, so long as their, you know, the doctor's recommendations support us, you know, setting foot on their property at that time. So my recommendation to the board and to the, for, you know, how to proceed here is, you know, given the concerns of COVID, I recommend we hold off on replacing this meter till the spring. Currently, we are still able to read their meter. We were able to get the last two reads off of it. In the event that we are unable to get reads this winter, there are provisions in the rules and regulations for us to be able to bill this customer. You know, based on what's typically done is based on historical usage. So again, there's provisions to be able to continue to bill. In the spring, this customer will reach out to us to schedule an appointment. They had promised it would happen in the beginning or early part of the spring. I've asked Anna to place a reminder in her notes that if we don't hear from them by May 1st, that we reach out to them to schedule the appointment. So that really kind of wraps up my thoughts on the matter. Are there any questions from the board or any thoughts on my recommendations?
Yeah, it sounds reasonable.
I just have one question. Did we determine whether they have a black backflow system on their property?
I don't believe we've looked into that, Bob. We'll follow up on that. Anna, if you could put that on your list of things to take a look at over the next couple days, that'd be great. My assumption, Bob, is that this property was built long enough ago that it was before backflow devices were required.
Oh, so at what point in time do we then go require a refit?
The way that we administer the backflow program is on new construction or new irrigation systems that are tied to the services at that time backflow devices are required. We do not perform an audit of all existing customers.
Gotcha. Okay.
Scott, how do we align with the what we promised in the letter to them?
You know, basically the promise in the letter is that we would respect their concerns and that I would provide an update in the board meeting. Those were kind of the key points that I remember, and that's why I reached out to them and wanted to just confirm with them that they would be willing to work with us in the spring and be able to present that position to the board.
I'd like to thank Tim for the help preparing that and everybody's input. I think it was handled really well.
All right. Any further questions or comments on that before we move on? Hearing none. The last item that we have detailed on the agenda is just Summit County's 100% net renewable electric program. This, as you'll remember, Summit County is moving to providing all electric, you know, supporting their electrical load for all government operations, including the service districts, which includes Mountain Regional, from a solar array out in the Tooele area. The final rate that was received on purchasing this power was slightly lower than the last report to the board. The last report to the board, I believe, was about 2.6% higher than the standard rates that we pay today, or essentially a 2.6% fee on top of whatever the electrical rate will be. That is now down to 2.3 in change. The long and short of it in the staff report, which I can bring up quickly right now, is that it amounts to about $20,000 a year in increased electrical costs for the district. And I chatted with, here are the details here, 2.37%. The expected expenditure for Mountain Regional annually is $20,373. That'll begin in 2023. I did have a conversation with Tom Fisher last week just to confirm from Tom that he did not need a formal recommendation or formal approval from the district, from the board. And his position was is that this is a policy being adopted by the county council, and no position or approval is needed from the participating parties. So last night, again, it was before council, and council approved moving forward. So this appears to be a go. There is a Public Service Commission review of this, so there is a chance it could still derail, but momentum is leading in the direction of it being approved and moving forward with this program. Are there any questions for me on this, or any follow-up? All right, hearing none. The one comment I'll make just in the other category is just for the board to stay tuned. Chris Braun received a call yesterday, I believe. There's a 440-unit development that is likely going to come our way, or at least request to come our way, that was not planned, or I should say was not included in the most recent projections for the district. This project is on the southwest corner of the I-80, I-40 interchange along Highland Drive. It's roughly a 40-acre parcel. It'll be high-density condominiums, townhomes, and that's kind of the scoop. Chris, do you want to just provide some of the other details that you heard via email from the developer?
Yeah, Scott, if you want to let me share my screen, I'll put up the...
Thanks, Chris. That's exactly what I was thinking. I operate spatially. That'd be really helpful.
Yeah, it'll make sense. So it's actually the piece is hemmed in by Highland. It's actually made it into the paper recently. It's the Highland Flats project is what they're calling it. Hang on one second.
Is this so the Catholic diocese parcel, where it's
precisely
right now? Yeah.
Yep, that's exactly what it is. Let's see, where is that control? It's roughly a 44-acre parcel. Let's see if I can get this to show right here. Does that work? I can only blow it up so big in here. So what they're talking about, so this is the I-80 40 interchange and Highland Drive piece, which is currently not part of the district. We would end up having to annex this in. They are early in the process with the county at this point, and they'd have to severely change the density that's required on this parcel. So it's by no means a go, but it's definitely something that they're going to be pushing forward on. So they're looking at 17 buildings that are three-story apartment buildings, and then there's 10 townhome buildings along the southern edge of it as well, for a total of 410 units that they're looking at developing. They conveniently show the new church off here to the right, but there's no parking or other pieces relevant to that yet. They're not showing at all. Do you guys have any questions looking at this, or can you see it well enough?
Well, yeah. Chris, how would we, which tank would we serve this from?
this would land in our Atkinson zone. And what one of the things we're talking about, I realize you have a really hard time seeing my cursor. So over here on the south, the north is up on this map. On the very east side, you can kind of see where the pedestrian tunnel under Highway 40 goes. We would propose that they would have to bore under Highway 40 to provide water through there to get to it. And then we would want them to loop out somewhere else, either over here on the north side, over to towards the Woodside area to create a loop, or down Highland Drive. It's a little ways far. It's another, approximately 2,000 feet or so worth of more line going southwest along Highland to catch up by Parkview, where our infrastructure ends on the other side.
Ryan, how did impact fire storage, maybe?
We haven't seen the specifics on the units yet, but they're mostly apartments, and so they're fairly low usage. Fire storage, we have the Atkinson tank plus the 2 million gallons that we have sitting in the Silver Creek Village tank. I think we're more than adequately covered in that regard.
Okay.
Yeah, Mike, the Atkinson zone is really that's the hub zone of the district, and that's where the new tank and pump station was built, and we had an existing tank as well. So we're healthy in that regard.
Right. I kind of remember it was hard to get water under 40.
Yep. That, that is, it does present some challenges hydraulically. Really the biggest hydraulic challenge that the district had, going back a couple of years, is the lowlands, if you will, coming out of Promontory before you come into the business park where Mountain Regional's office is located. But remember, we put that EPA line in, as we affectionately called it, and that added another conveyance path to get water out of Lower Promontory and into the business park area. So our biggest bottleneck was taken care of. We'd have to look closely at the hydraulics, in its current state, with respect to this project, with respect to fire flow, and see how everything penciled out. If we did do the looped line, as Chris had explained, coming under 40 and continuing west on Highland, in connecting into our existing infrastructure, I think it would be more than adequate to support the project from a hydraulic standpoint.
Okay, yeah, I was just thinking about those, some of those apartments can have a fairly high fire flow rate and quite a duration. It can turn into a big volume of required storage.
That's correct, Mike. You're absolutely correct.
Okay.
So it's, this is really early, really early in the process. I just want to give the board a heads up.
Yeah, you guys got it.
If we didn't serve it, who would?
Nobody.
Yeah, that was actually my comment to what typically happens is when this stuff comes into the county, whatever planner is assigned to the project sends out an email to utilities, us, Rocky Mountain Power, Sewer District, et cetera, looking for just comment and review. And if it falls in the district, we make a comment, or in the case of this one, we said we didn't have a comment. But our question is, who's going to serve this? Because we didn't believe that Highland has the capacity, or the High Valley Water District and our company doesn't have the capacity to do it. And the planner responded back, and then within a few hours, I had an email in my inbox from the developer. So, yeah, they were hot to trot on it.
So much for no new entitlements in the county, huh? I guess it's all low-income housing.
Yeah, time will tell, Bob. We'll see. I don't believe that
where
project...
the trails are that they're going to put in to give us community benefit for all this, right?
Yeah, I don't believe the project was approved over in the tech park. So there's really no telling if this is, if this is something that will go anywhere.
Well, time will tell.
Yeah. So if there's no further questions on that, Chris, thanks for detailing that out. We can wrap it up with any questions on the department updates. Mike, do you want to start and then you can go around the room?
Hey, so Scott, what would you think if about talking about Hideout? Does that impact us at all?
You know, Mike, the answer is I don't know. That situation isn't far enough along for me to really project what, you know, how that impacts us. You know, the bottom line is, you know, that project would have to be served. Park City Municipal, I don't know how these boundaries would be drawn, if they would potentially do it. Jordanelle Special Service District could be a possibility, but that's coming into Summit County, which my understanding is they can't cross the county line. Summit Water has infrastructure over to the movie studio. You know, they could potentially serve it and purchase water from Park City to do so. You know, or us, we don't have infrastructure in that area. So I think at this point it's kind of a wait and see.
Okay, thank you.
We probably shouldn't do anything that might enable that situation. We should probably wait for something from Tom Fisher, right?
Yes, that's absolutely the case, Tim.
Well, Andy Bierman was, on the right hand, was talking about providing services to them, and then out of the left side of his mouth was saying he was against the project. So
yeah,
maybe Park City will take care of it.
Yeah.
All right, so yeah, I think we were ready for item 8 on the agenda, questions on the department updates. Do you want to go ahead, Bob? You're on camera.
I think Bob's reviewing his notes. Ian, do you want to kick things off?
Sure. Let's see. Brian, the Spring Creek well 1R, I guess we're putting some flows into East Canyon Creek, 700 gallons a minute. Do we have a transducer on that measuring water level?
No, we do not. It's a pretty rudimentary well.
Does it have a shutoff if we hit low water, or have we ever pulled down to the pump, I guess?
In some of the investigative stuff, no, we have not. If it does pull down, you know, the electrical components will shut it off.
In past years, Ian, the flow just, you know, declined, and eventually, and wow, we ran it. Brian, you can help me remember. A couple years ago, we ran it for what, a couple months at least? And,
yeah.
You know, the flow just kind of gradually declined. We never pulled it down to the pump.
Yeah, I checked it yesterday, and it was down to 620 gallons a minute.
Okay. Is that likely we'll need to do that again this year, like a couple of months, based on how dry it's been?
That's my guess.
Most likely, yeah. That creek's pretty dry.
Well, sounds like you guys are watching it, so yeah, be a good little science experiment.
We did get some kudos in the park record on a commentary on that, so that was nice to see.
Yeah, and that Alexander Kramer with the Park Record's been reaching out to me for details on that. I'm going to try to give him some background tomorrow, because there's really a lot of activity, positive activity, that relates to improving those in-stream flows. The water banking effort, the legislative effort, if you will. They've got a pilot study on East Canyon Creek that I've been participating in, trying to identify ways to get additional flow into the creek. You know, you've got the East Canyon Watershed Committee that meets quarterly, that Sam has been supporting for the district. That's really where the requests sort of come out of for us to turn that well on. And that's where the financial participation for the expenses of operating that well come from.
And then there's, you know, local landowners and such that have been involved as well. So, you know, I'm going to try to detail that out for Alexander tomorrow.
Yeah, kudos to everybody involved. I think it's really important, but, you know, more importantly, we should, you know, per your lead, yeah, definitely communicate that as best possible and, yeah, get some legs off of this. Question for Chris. Item two in your notes, you had a comment about how a lot of these developers, they come to us to, you know, get approvals and they've already concreted things in. Have we ever told them, too bad, dig it up? And, you know, if it doesn't meet your criteria, it doesn't matter if it's concreted in.
No, to date, we have not pulled that trigger. Yeah, that may end up getting us the worst product than what we have, you know, to try and make work. You know, in this particular case in the colony, the buildings, the shells were already up and everything. Yeah, Scott and Brian and Sam and I've had some discussions about how to, like I said, insert ourselves into this so we get our eyes on it, or that there's, you know, a buy-off by some sort of an electrical engineer. Yeah, the mechanical stuff doesn't seem to be the problem. It's more on the electrical side and on the SCADA side. Developers are getting residential electricians in and they don't understand conduits. They don't understand looking at the electrical plans on figuring out how that stuff goes. That's where the problem arises from.
Okay, but so it sounds like there's potentially a risk to us accepting those as is.
Well, like for example, in the colony, you know, we're able to make without sacrificing anything, we're able to make that stuff work. It's not how if we had our thumb in it to begin with, we would have had it done. There would have been extra conduits. There would have it would have been farther along at this point. So, you know, it's not hindering us, I guess, is what I'm getting at. You know, it makes more work for the guys finishing out the project sometimes, but we always are finding ways to make it work, whether it's added conduit along a wall instead of in a floor or something like that. It's not as clean as we would like it. You know, if we were to build this site, it's not the same way, if that makes sense.
Yeah, but what I'm hearing is it's at their expense, not at ours. It's not a financial liability to us down the road. You get everything you need. It's just not built the way you would have built it.
Correct. That's 100% correct.
All right. And then last question I had was for Anna. It looks like we've only got 227 meters to put in now. Are those in one specific area, or are they all just kind of random ones that didn't go in for some reason or another?
Those are actually all over our district, and they're mostly residential. So Silver Spring, some Spring Creek, some Blackhawk Station, a couple of ones still in Summit Park that may either be inside or need to have some additional work before we put in a meter.
Okay.
And is any of that from community water? How many more do we have to do at community water?
No, community water should only have a couple. There's one for sure in, I believe it's Hidden Creek. We just can't get a hold of this particular owner. We've tried leaving voicemails and letters and door hangers and the HOA.
Okay.
We are getting some feedback that the community water customers who are now being metered are they're realizing how much water they're using and what it costs.
Yeah.
That's it for me. Thank you.
Yeah, I don't have anything else.
Okay. Karen, how about you?
I don't have anything on the department.
Okay. Tim, what are you thinking there?
I still like Sam's picture at the end of his report there, and not putting any pressure on Steve, but what would you take a picture of, Steve?
nothing as entertaining as Sam can take pictures of. That's for sure. We have to keep up the boring accountant routine, you know.
I like your graph, Steve.
Well, thank you, Karen. I appreciate that.
Very nice graphs.
I like the graphs as well, but I would put a bottom dollar that Brian could probably have the most interesting photos.
I was thinking that when I read Brian's report today, that Brian, you could get some good ones in there.
Well, Steve,
I'll work on that.
Steve, you have a good one in your neighborhood. Steve's been without power since Tuesday?
Yeah, since the storm rolled through. I'm right in one of those bad areas, kind of in Mill Creek, East Mill Creek area. So, yeah, we've been debating whether to go to a hotel or not. But we keep on holding out hope that it's going to come back any night now.
Wow. Do you have a generator?
No, but that might be in the future plans.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's my kids have actually had to talk to each other and talk to me, though, because they don't have the internet, so their devices aren't nearly as fun. So we've actually had to, like, play board games at night and things like that. And they drove me a little crazy, but now they're actually behaving themselves okay.
Hey, Mike, in Sam's report, I did ask him to start to detail out some of the expenditures and scheduling. He took an initial whack at that, and in some cases it's, you know, we're trying to keep these reports concise yet give you the information you need. So I know Sam will continue to work on that, and if you have specific requests, just let us know.
Yeah, I appreciate that. I noticed that. Thank you.
Anything?
Yeah, I only had kind of the same comment that Ian had on that, you know, challenge with getting the inspections and, you know, some hold points and how do you get there at the right time. That's very challenging.
It's a gap that we recognize and we're working on. You know, I think it's up to the district to establish. Like you said, Mike, those hold points, those inspection points that, you know, we have to see the work at that point before it goes any further, and we're identifying what those are.
It made me think about a NEPA flowchart, maybe. Those have been helped me before to understand, you know, the steps, and maybe we bring that into the standards or something. I don't know.
We'll take a look.
Are there any other questions on the department updates?
I have just a general question. How are our wells holding up, and how is the Lost Canyon holding up?
We're keeping up. All of our sources are keeping up. You know, thankfully, we were able to get those additional water rights moved down to the river so that we could try to release as much pressure as we could on our groundwater sources. No issues down at Lost Canyon. On the groundwater, all of our wells. Brian, we haven't had any, knock on wood, we haven't had any wells, shutdowns, really not the right word. But, you know, last year we had a couple wells go down and they were down for a period of time for maintenance. I don't think we've had any of those situations this year, which is great news. Right?
Yes, that's correct. Knock on wood, so far so good.
Yeah. And so, Bob, really our focus it has been on the water quality side. Sam has been taking monthly TDS readings on our wells, which is, you know, kind of a new program for us. We used to just take a reading once a year in September for concurrency reasons. We are keeping a much closer eye on the water quality of our groundwater sources. We're seeing some increases in TDS, you know, that is not the trend that we want to see. But, you know, what we're working on is trying to understand how do we get that under control and how do we get more of a sustainable trend. So we're looking at a potential resting rotation as we go forward, looking at either keeping a well off for a whole year or running some of these wells that are exhibiting this behavior at lower speeds. it is a bit of a balancing act with all the sources that we have, because if we reduce production out of one source, that production has to come from another. So, but we are keeping an eye on it, and we're actively working on it.
Anything new under the sun in terms of COVID or COVID policy out of the county or anything? We're just ticking along on what we had in place.
That's correct. No new policies that I'm aware of. The county has extended their health orders. I believe that happened a couple weeks ago, probably since we met last. And we're ticking along. I feel good about, office behavior, if you will. I think we're all just used to this new normal of, you know, masking up and keeping things as clean as we can. And being respectful of each other's workspaces. I don't think Brian's had any issues on his team. I think most people in the community are just getting used to these new practices.
Have we had any traffic at all at the office?
A little bit. Yeah, we have, I don't know, Anna,
outside,
what do you think?
Traffic, customer type traffic.
Yeah, Anna, how many, 5 or 10 customers a day stopping in maybe?
Yeah, they're usually contractors or people with impact fees.
Okay, and everybody's following the masking rules and that kind of stuff?
Yes, they're all really good about wearing a mask, and if they don't, then we have some available for them right at the front desk, but they're all really good about the sanitizer and the masks, and if they use a pen, we take it and wipe it down for them, so...
Good. That does it for me.
I had one question. I noticed this month we didn't have the timeline at the end of the meeting minutes with upcoming meetings listed out.
Sorry, I forgot to put that in.
All right. I like it, just FYI.
Okay. I realized that today when I pulled up the Dropbox that last month it was in there and I forgot to put it in. I'm sorry. I'll update it and send it out to you with some information about Marty's retirement.
Please.
Tomorrow.
That'd be great.
Yeah, that's a really good comment, Ian. As far as, you know, next month we're going to look at the expense side. In October and then November, are we going to need another public hearing on the budget, or do we just recommend that to, when do we need to recommend that to the county?
That will be done at the October meeting. So the October 22nd meeting, we just do a recommendation, and that's just a preliminary budget at that point. Then we get back to council at the beginning of November, and they formally adopt the temporary budget. And then we have to wait 30 days, and then they formally approve it in the beginning of December. And they just have to, they usually do it the first week in December, but it has to be done by December 31st. So once we go through the first review really in October, it's just preliminary. We can still make changes during that 30-day time. The council can make changes similar to kind of what we had to do last year. We had to make some changes. Normally we're pretty rock solid and we don't have to make too many changes to the budget after the October meeting. Hopefully this year that's the case, and we can just present in November, leave the 30-day period for public comment, and then they adopt it in beginning of December.
Thank you.
Sure.
We do have some red lines on our rate schedule, really just clarifications to the language of some of the rate headings and things like that. I think we removed a fee or two. I believe that may... We need to clarify that with the attorney's office. We're not sure yet if that's going to require a public hearing or not. If so, it should be fairly straightforward.
Yeah, I wonder if we could roll that in with on the 8th.
No, we're trying to avoid that just to keep things as clean as possible.
Sure. Okay. Well, is there anything else?
That's it from the district tonight.
Well, nice job, you guys. That's just really well done. We'll stand adjourned at 7:25.